President Trump wants interest rates cut. Since the Federal Reserve won't do that, he is putting a ton of pressure on the Fed and trying to fire a Fed governor so he can install his own people onto the board so they can carry out his wishes. Now, let me explain why losing independence in the Federal Reserve or having the Fed be an extension of the White House would be very bad for you, your wallet, and the power of the dollar. And here's the thing. We've been down this road before, and it didn't end well for anyone for more than a decade. And I'm going to tell you a little story about a man named Arthur Burns. But before I tell you about Arthur Burns, I want to make sure we're all on the same page. The Federal Reserve, which is the central bank of the United States, is responsible for monetary policy, including interest rates. The Fed's mission is to ensure stable prices and maximum employment. But those two things are constantly tugging at each other. Because the US economy doesn't just stand still, it's always moving and changing. To make those monetary policy decisions that keep those things in balance, the Fed has to make its decisions on its own. Politicians have no say in the Fed's decision making. And while the Fed is technically part of the US government, it is completely independent. And that's by design, because monetary policy is very unpopular. No one likes high interest rates. But sometimes the Fed has to increase interest rates in order to bring inflation down. Because when the inflation is too high, you know this, prices are not stable for anyone. Interest rates are the main tool the Federal Reserve uses to get that inflation under control. But it means higher borrowing costs for everyone, which is not pleasant. Now, if the Fed was run by the president or a politician, or if it was subject to the whims of the White House, we would never see high interest rates. For the same reason why no politician wants to raise taxes. It's not popular. So now that we understand the basics, let's get to our story. There once was a man named Arthur Burns. Burns was an American economist and spent two consecutive terms as the Federal Reserve chairman from 1970 to 1978. He had a very close friend, President Richard Nixon, who had nominated Burns to be the Fed chair because Nixon saw Burns as a Republican loyalist and a personal ally. In the end, they were more like frenemies, but we'll get there. The trouble was, at the beginning of Nixon's presidency, he was dealing with a really tough economy. Americans were out of work, unemployment was high, and so was inflation. But Nixon had a re-election campaign to run, and he wanted to stay in power. So he turned to his friend Burns and tried to bully him into lowering interest rates, saying that money needed to be cheap again so companies would hire and more people would get back to work. Because if more people were back to work, Nixon believed they would be more likely to vote for him. Burns said, it's kind of a bad idea. Not a really great time. The economy not in a really good place for rate cuts. And he wouldn't do it. But Nixon persisted and started leaking stories to the media about wanting to expand the Federal Reserve Board and appoint his own people so Burns's power would be weakened and Nixon would get what he wanted in the end. Sound familiar? Well, in August of 1971, Nixon tried to do something about the economy himself. He imposed price controls, which included a freeze on wages and prices and rents, and he imposed a temporary 10% tariff on imports and suspended the dollar's convertibility into gold. Nixon was warned by his advisors. They said he was taking the easy way out on this economic problem, and he might as well be putting lipstick on a pig because these moves in the end we're going to make the economy worse, but Nixon did it anyway. He had an election to win, after all. Shortly after he put in those price controls, on the surface, the U.S. economy seemed to be doing much better. That, combined with all those leaks to the media and all the pressure Nixon was putting on him, it was all too much for Burns. And he caved. And he gave Nixon what he wanted, several interest rate cuts over a few years. And that did the trick. Tons of money was circulating in the U.S. economy. GDP was up, inflation came down, and fewer people were unemployed. It got Nixon reelected in a landslide, but it was all a mirage, like a boiling pot with a lid ready to blow. Because once those price controls disappeared in 1973, just as Burns and Nixon's advisors had warned, the lid blew. Gas and food shortages started appearing. Inflation skyrocketed overnight to more than 9%, and by 1974, it was almost 12%. By then, Burns and Nixon were at each other's throats. Nixon blamed Burns for the horrible economy, and Burns was like, dude, this is on you. Burns had no choice. He was forced to slam the brakes on this out-of-control Nixon economy, and the Fed jacked up interest rates, which then triggered a deep recession, which then led to stagflation, which then led to a new president and a new Fed chair coming into office and continually jacking up interest rates even more, well over 15% in the early 1980s, to finally crush the Nixon inflation. Friends, the story of Nixon and Burns is a cautionary tale, one that shows us when the president and politicians interfere with the independence of the Federal Reserve for political gain, it leads to long-lasting economic damage.